So I have been an avid listener of podcasts, especially the ones that have the capability to change my life in some way. And I was specifically looking for podcasts by engineers, former engineers, or people in infrastructure industry. And luckily, I stumbled upon Dr. James Bryan's podcast. And the moment I read about his background, I was like, okay, this is the person who's going to understand exactly what it means to transition from being an engineer to an executive to an entrepreneur. So I definitely want to hear what he has to say. And that was one of the best decisions I made because there are not many podcasts like this, especially for individuals geared in our industry. So I'm so glad I came across your podcast and thank you so much for doing this. Anyone who is in my industry in infrastructure, utilities, or transitioning careers just wants to overall be a great professional, I would 100% recommend Dr. James' podcast.
As an engineering leader, you know firsthand that achieving work-life balance can be hard. Many business owners struggle with the balance between their personal lives and their work. This leads to stress and a feeling of regret. But that's not the case for the listeners of the Engineer Your Success podcast with Dr. James Bryan. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. Tune in. Let's engineer your success today. I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryan, your host for the show. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. It is my desire for you to be able to design and live a life where you are winning at work and at home. And I want to welcome you to today's show. So many of you that have been return listeners know that I've been very selective in the guests that we have on the show. But today, I have a very special guest. Why don't you introduce yourself to the Engineer Your Success podcast audience?
Hey, Dr. James. Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. I feel very fortunate to have been invited here because seeing all those people on your wall right behind you, it makes me feel so honored to be chosen to even speak with you and to have your time. To the listeners, hey everyone, I am Hitesha. I am an engineering consultant with a background in electrical design, and I have worked with top 10 engineering consulting firms across the United States. As a person, I love to read, I love to write. I'm obsessive about growth, development, whether it is in my career, whether it is in my relationships, or who I am as a human being. So that's how I really describe myself.
Okay. So, Tisha, tell us a little bit more about your engineering background. Where did you go to school? How long have you been in the industry? And what have you been up to?
Sure. So I went to school to University of Minnesota, Twin Cities campus, Gophers. I graduated in 2016, and ever since I have been working in the infrastructure industry. Over the years, I have taken on several roles, whether it is as a project manager or an engineering consultant, a project engineer, electrical designer, now as a licensed professional electrical engineer. I am currently working with Jacobs Engineering based out of California. My biggest focus has been to really diversify my experience in the sense that I have taken just a variety of projects, whether it is working on the biggest railroad project by Stantec Consulting, Long Island Railroad, or whether it is working in the healthcare for some of the top universities, university hospitals, and healthcare centers. Or whether it is working for companies such as Tesla or Facebook in their expansion of their infrastructure. So just a very nice and exciting variety of project. And that is something that I want to continue to build upon because as I look back, it makes me just proud of just how much colors I've added into my portfolio.
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting and cool. You're attracted to the bigger, larger projects and you're making a difference. I can tell by your body language as you're talking about this, that means a lot to you.
It took me some time to pick that up. I didn't start out as this uber confident professional in what I was doing. I had to build it. I had to see where my impact was and where I can fit myself in the industry to make that kind of impact. So now I'm in a space where I can see what I can do if I keep putting in the effort. So it's been good.
I think that's great. I want to just dig in to that a little bit. What were some of the things that you did to help build yourself and your skills and your confidence to where you are now?
A bunch of things, lots of crying and frustration. I started understanding first what success meant to me, how I can really feel confident in what I was achieving. So I basically started from mindset. I figured out very early on that I'm more of an internally driven person as opposed to externally driven person.
Okay.
So internally, my ecosystem of, is this a good project? Am I making an impact? Am I working with good people? Is this going to take me to the next level of growth? Those things over the time have become a lot more important to me. Whereas when I was starting out in my career, it was more about the external metric milestones that mattered a lot more. So for example, getting to that first 100K was so important. Like I was not paying attention to the quality of projects or like what type of effort I was putting in. I just wanted to get to the first 100K. And it was such a paradox because I had to then learn how to be patient to develop the qualities that takes you to 100K. So I would say that somehow the industry humbled me into being more patient, into working on my mindset first. And then those milestones started feeling a lot more fulfilling and they came a little bit easier with a little less hustle, I would say.
Okay. If you are talking to an engineer who recently have come out, they're starting their career, what are some of the pieces of advice that you would give them?
Okay, I love this question because one of the missions that I want to take on in my the rest of my career is to really help younger professionals to see, to find their place in industry, to navigate their versions of success in the industry. So if someone is getting out of college, I would say not to expect the biggest, bestest things straight out of the gate, to not expect like, okay, I'm going to make 200K right out of my school. And just because I have university from like top 10 engineering schools, I'm going to make this money. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to be straight in front of clients. I'm going to be making life-changing decisions, which I know it comes from ambition, but it also comes from a little bit of entitlement, which I discovered later. When I started looking at it as more of an entitlement and less as an ambition, I started working more towards preparing myself instead of assuming that people should put me in the best projects, in the best places. I started working on myself to prove to people why I should be placed on those projects. So I would say that would be one of the top things for younger professionals to understand. Just be a little bit patient with the process and work on yourself, work on adding value to yourself and to your team. And second, to not give up at the first sign of a small scale project, or if you have to, let's say, answer, like work on some red lines or some design markups, do not think of it as a waste of your time. Continue to build your toolbox, continue to network, continue to put yourself in good projects.
I think that is gold level advice because you are working and building on your skill set. And while you're doing that, you're building relationships with the people that you're working with. Mm-hmm. And whether you know it or not, as an individual, as a worker, as an engineer, you are always representing the brand of you. And how you show up in those moments where you're working on the red line project or you're doing something that you might think is beneath your skills and your level, how you do that is also how you're going to show up and do the hard things when you don't want to push and you don't want to do. It's not always about the limelight, but it is about the work that you put in on a day by day basis.
100% agree.
Yeah. So your career has been progressing. So tell us a little bit about your career arc and then get into what you're doing right now.
So I started out as an assistant project manager, surprisingly, right out of college. So that gave me a perspective into the industry in a very small scale because I was working for a small startup out of LA. It's called Design Everest, and the startup is doing really well right now.
Oh, cool.
So I started with them, and I kind of understood that in order to be successful in this industry, you need to develop a niche. And more than a niche, you need to develop, acquire certain educational qualifications, which is so different from other industries such as tech, but is very similar to some other industries like being in law or being in healthcare, where you
Yeah.
have to have certain level of licenses and practices under your belt to be able to even sit at certain tables. And that's just the truth. If you want to bypass, that's really not going to work. So I started as after being an assistant PM, I learned that. I learned the value of furthering my own education. And then I ended up at Stantec Consulting, which is one of the top five engineering consulting firms in the world. I was a very small cog in the wheel where I just picked up so much, even just because of my project management background. And just I started transitioning into more of electrical design. And then that exposed me to a host of things like working with the city, with the government clients and private clients. And it just helped me understand that this industry can actually help you have these people in your network so soon. Like, as soon as you're out of college, you actually have the ability to build this network, which is such a big pro.
Yeah.
And so from there, I then acquired my professional license to about 2.5 years ago. So it still feels very new.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I acquired a PE and then I acquired a PMP, which is a project management certificate. As I was working on, again, my focus was for at least a year or two, I'm just going to give my best instead of expecting the industry to give me the best. So I just did that. And as I was doing that, I started seeing a lot more flexibility in terms of the projects that I was choosing. I started leading some of my projects. I ended up leading some of the portfolios of Tesla's facility expansion, for example, through my company, which was one of my first experiences of leading something from start to finish. And so just like starting from, a cog in the wheel to actually be able to have flexible hours, having flexible teams, getting more work from home opportunities, or even just like saying no to projects that I didn't want, which is still new to me. So that's the kind of career arc I am on. And now I'm just pushing myself to stay on high visibility roles because I feel like they do come with a lot of responsibility, but you have to put yourself there because that's the only way to really make true impact and to let your impact be known and to get anywhere. It's like, unfortunately or fortunately, you have to let people know of your impact. So that's kind of
Yes.
that's what I'm working on, to be comfortable knowing that I need to share what I'm working on. And this podcast is one of those examples of that.
Yeah, because I talked about the importance of assertive communication in a recent episode and just how you can assert what you're doing and being able to talk openly about what you're doing, but not necessarily come off as combative or arrogant, but it's learning how to speak up for yourself. One of the things you talked about, and I think is very really important for our listeners, particularly for some of the younger engineers, the importance of licensing and credentialing in our industry. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I touched a little bit upon the fact that there are certain industries which just by default require a certain type of licensing for you to differentiate yourself. And over the years, I've also learned that it's like, how you have to pay really high tax to be in California.
Yep.
Some people, the people who live here, they always joke that, okay, we are willing to pay taxes because, it just makes sure that it weeds out a lot of population. So we get this place all to ourselves. So it's kind of like that in the industry where do you really have what it takes to be in this industry? Because in the long run, if you actually end up in places of let's say, management positions where you decide what projects to work on and what type of impact and influence you want to have, you need to really prove, at least to yourself and to others, that you're capable of making those level of decisions. I have learned to appreciate and even respect the process a lot more. That's one aspect that if you need to make bigger decisions, if you need to distinguish yourself as a serious professional, it's just one of the things you do. Accept it and move on. And then the next one would be your earning potential. I know it's an important topic, and I hate that it's not really talked about a lot. Somehow, talking about like income earning and like, you know, being driven by earning potential is not seen very positively. But every single human being in who has a career makes decisions based on that. So I would say that your earning potential definitely keeps going up, and it just increases year after year once you have your license. And that's just another big reason to do it. I know there's a certain cost involved with getting licensed, but for example, when I got my license, my company did not reimburse me for the license, but I immediately got like 12% increase in my salary. So to me, was it worth it? Of course. I mean, that's just, you know, that was far outweighed the cost that I had spent on getting the license. That's another thing. Third, if you're entrepreneurial, you have a lot more chances to do something of your own in the future. If you have a PE, you can hire great engineers and you can partner with the network that you've built in this industry to start your own firm. So those are some of the top three benefits. And there are a lot more, I'm sure.
Yeah, there are a lot more, and it just opens up a whole new world of opportunities, earning potential, the types of projects that you're going to be asked to lead, and just general opportunities become available to you when you do get your PA. And your story is very similar to mine when I got my PA, got like a 10% raise, and it opened up the door for other managerial opportunities. At the time, I was working for the Virginia Department of Transportation. So I started off in the private sector. Then I went to the public sector. And of course, well, at that time, I took a pay cut to go from the private sector to the public sector. But that was more of a family decision. But then I was able to recoup that by getting my PE and taking advantage of the opportunities that were in front of me.
Exactly. Every time I see people in like the top management roles in any company, especially in our industry, I have always seen them, whether or not they are directly working on design fields or technical fields, they're technical PMs or something else, whether they're in operations, they always seem to have a PE or a PMP, at least a PE, regardless of their role. So that's one thing to really take note of. If that industry inherently promotes and values people with that type of license, then maybe it's time to jump on the bandwagon.
No, I absolutely agree. I think it's an important piece as we talk to other engineers, as we talk to college students and interns and others, that this is an important piece to put on the board for yourself. This is an important goal for you to have, is to take the fundamentals of engineering exam and then take the professional engineering licensing exam. Those are two kind of key pieces to help continue to build a solid foundation for your career growth. The stronger the foundation, the taller the structure that you can build. So if you're not building a strong foundation, it will limit the trajectory of your career.
It's like the redwood trees.
So, one, thank you for coming onto the show. Thank you for talking about your career trajectory. You're absolutely great, and you're hungry for growth. Just listening to you as you described yourself, but even as you describe your journey, it's growth. I want growth. And
It
you don't strike me as the type of person that's not satisfied with what you've accomplished. It's more so, I've accomplished it. It's great. All right. Wonderful. Enjoy it for a moment. Now, what's the next thing? Where's the next place that I'm going to push to grow myself?
Yeah, I think that's the right analysis. I try to, I used to be the person who would keep my ambition on the down low so that people don't, see me as hungry. But then over the time, it just like, it's just who I am. And I think it's much better and more fulfilling to just be who you are because you then give permission to other people to be exactly who they are.
Yes. What was there? Is there a story behind that? Was there a defining moment where you decided, you know what? This is just who I am, and I'm going to show up authentically as myself?
There are stories, multiple stories. Some of those are super personal. Maybe we can like, that's like
That's a
off the pad
yes,
podcast conversation.
no problem.
But there were the crux of the stories was that I realized the people that I was surrounded by, I was constantly being let down by them, or I was generally feeling disappointed by the conversations we were having, and I had to constantly hide how obsessed I was with growth or with like with simplest of things like I want to go to the gym. I would have to sometimes hide it from the people because I don't want to come across as, oh, like why is she like miss skipping out on our like bar time together or something else. I do know that people have different ways, different definitions of fun and fulfillment. So to each one their own. But personally, I just realized I was not being a good friend because I was not 100% there with people around me and the conversations were not fulfilling. Something was just really off. So I just started completely decluttering like conversations, like the connections and everything just to not because I think that they were irrelevant or whatever, but I realized that they were not the perfect match for who I was, who I wanted to become. And the biggest thing is, it was my fault because I was hiding who I was. I was trying to fit in. I was trying to be a good friend, and I was trying to just like hide a lot of things that genuinely did inspire me. So then when I started being more and more of who I was, just sharing a lot more about my interests, people who matched that came into my life. People who talked about ambition on like just openly and shared the things that I would share my dreams and people, there were people in my life. There are people in my life now who can tell me that's not good enough. You can do so much better. Like do better, like think better, And now I'm just like, wow, that's how it feels. Okay. So that's how it feels to be pushed. But it's a good feeling because it took me a long time to find this place. So now I'm at least a lot more satisfied and feel like I'm being true to myself.
No, I think that's wonderful in that you are able to get to the point to say, I need to figure out how I can just be me.
Yeah.
And when you are just being, you will attract those people that are attracted to that lifestyle, that are attracted to the topics that you're talking about. And the interesting thing is that when we hide ourselves, we attract those people that are attracted to that, what we're presenting, and so then when we want to authentically be ourselves, we're like, well, none of my friends seem to be there. Well, that wasn't what you were putting out there in terms of how you were, who you were, what you thought about when they entered into your life. There are many people that will get to the point where they have a group of friends that they grew up with, right? So they can be authentically themselves, but they grew up and now they're starting to grow. And they try to take their same group of friends with them as they grow. And that doesn't always work. And many people will hinder themselves and say, well, I don't want to leave anybody behind. So what I tell folks is that you're not leaving them behind. You're choosing to let them stay where they are because you're saying, hey, this is where I'm going. This is the life that I want to build. This is kind of the situation that I'm creating. Feel free to come along. You got to carry your own weight, but feel free to come along. But if they choose to stay where they are, that's on them, not on you.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And it also takes a certain level of empathy to know that maybe that's their definition of success. And if I was to push them to live like me, to be like me, they will probably be utterly miserable. And just like if you try to put me into that same exact life, into that same exact circumstances, I would be utterly miserable. I just started seeing things from that perspective and I realized, oh, I'm actually doing them a favor by, not letting, by not pushing them unnecessarily and by just accepting. And to me, it doesn't necessarily mean ambition or like, show me like how your success metrics. And it's not really about that. It's just about driven. And that's one of the things that attracted me to your podcast, because you always talked about a holistic, wholesome growth. And that's what made me feel like, okay, Dr. James is a kindred spirit, because he doesn't look at career as like just ambition and just this. Like, it's not ruthless ambition that I consider is growth, but I think it's just the ability to self-analyze and to constantly be obsessed with that self-improvement journey, whether or not it means you have to just sometimes be patient and be and go through like serious failure.
You do. You will go through failure. I will let people know you will go through failure. There will be things that you try that you will not succeed in at first. You have to, I mean, you can keep. So you keep trying, you retool yourself, you maybe learn a new approach to that particular thing because it can be solved. It maybe you can't solve it on your own. Then you get help. You pull in your mentors, you pull in other people that can help you address or solve that problem. You don't have to give up, but you should not keep trying the exact same thing because you're going to get the same result if you try the exact same thing.
And sometimes that's why you need to seriously declutter your life and see if you did something completely different, if you just had completely different conversations with people, if you just had a completely different way of spending your free time, what would that lead to? Would you become the person that you're super proud of? So you have to at least give yourself some time to even discover that. Maybe you'll do that and you'll find out, okay, this life is not for me. I just want to, I really miss my childhood buddy, no matter how toxic my relationship with that buddy is. I just want to go back there. Maybe you'll discover that and you will go back, but at least give yourself the chance to be in that, in that transition phase.
No, I think give yourself permission to be, give yourself permission to try and see if it works. Test if it works, right? That's what we do as engineers. We build things, we test things, we analyze things. If it doesn't work, okay, maybe we need to build some additional support. Maybe we need to do the circuit a different way. Maybe we need to have a different power supply. Okay, great. Build it, test it, see if it works, and then put it into practice. Put it into practice. So listen, I want to thank you so much for all of the value that you've provided. I have two more questions. Two more questions. The one is, are there any other things that you would like to leave our listeners with? Any kind of challenges or just any kind of success principles that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Sure. So, because you said challenged, I am going to think about this a little bit. There's something that I've been trying in my own life as a challenge, which I think would be really cool if some of your listeners or even you tried. So the challenge was, and I learned about this from a podcast. It's the podcast is called On Purpose by Jay Shetty, and I think the podcast was with Jay Sean or Big Sean, some one of the artists. But the my takeaway from that was the artist had the habit of implementing one thing every year that had the capability of changing who they were. It just implementing one thing every year that would completely change who you are. Like, there is going to be like, pre that thing and post that thing version of you. To me, for example, in 2021, up until 2020, I was really into like health, wellness, fitness. I was an athlete in school, so that kind of like carried over. But in 2021, I became really serious about like implementing a routine. So that was one thing that changed my life in 2021. In 2022, it was getting the professional engineering license. And then, subsequently, like there have been things, like one thing every year that I do know has challenged me, or it could just be something small. Let's say you pick up drinking water as like the one thing that you're just going to absolutely crush this year? And
One thing.
one thing to that
Okay.
just changes you a little bit as a person. So that's one challenge that I would be
Okay.
happy to
All
have
right.
you use us try.
I will try it. I will talk about
Yay.
it in future podcasts as well about the one thing. I don't know what my one thing is going to be yet. I'll have to think about what
I can
that
help
one
you
thing is
come up
going to
with
be.
some.
I have to think about what that one thing is going to be, but I like the concept because what you're doing is you're just building that into your life. Many people think that success is about the end result, but it's really about the journey and who you become in the process of achieving that success. And so by implementing this one thing that you're talking about each year, you are literally changing who you are. And the new version of you, the improved version of you, shows up to the next year. And then you build on that and you keep building and you keep building.
Yeah, it's like what they say that the destination is temporary, but who you become is going to be permanent. That's
Yes.
you carry. So it's like it's the biggest investment you can make.
Yes, the biggest investment that you can make. And so now I'm going to. This is my last question, and that is, do you have any questions for me? So I'm going to turn this around. You are now the host. What questions do you have for me?
Okay. So the question that I have for you is, what is your, if you feel comfortable sharing, what is your biggest vision for your podcast and for your business? Like, what is like the most audacious dream that you have for this?
That is pretty cool. I mean, part of it, because there are many different types of clients that we serve, but ultimately it goes back to what I talk about, empowering leaders, specifically those with an engineering background, but empowering leaders with the tools that they need to design and live a life where they're winning at work and at home. So that's like a primary thing. The other thing, and I don't have any like numbers in terms of the size of audience and all of this, but the thing that really resonates with me is this whole concept that engineers are people too. And being able to speak to the person behind the facade or behind the profession of the engineer, being able to let them know that it's okay for them to be seen, to be heard, that they're valued and that they're worthy.
I'm 100% sure that you did that to so many others, just like you did that to me by letting me be on this podcast. So, yeah, you are, I can see you already well on your way to your goal.
Yeah, and I want to, I mean, I'm going to expand it. I have different visions of what I want to do in terms of revenue growth and business impact, but what it all boils down to is being able to touch engineers, scientists, people with that background at the person level to let them know that they're appreciated, that they're worthy, and that it's okay for them to have an insatiable appetite for growth like you do. Like, that's okay. That's great. And if they don't, that's okay too, because it depends on how they define success. The only issue that I would have for the person that doesn't have goals or doesn't have the same appetite for growth is the reason why. Is there something getting in the way where they think they're not worthy of that growth? Are they sabotaging themselves? Because some people fear failure, other people fear success. So things start going well, all of a sudden that's not good. No, that's great. So that would be the only thing, but I really want to continue to speak to those individuals, to you as a person.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And the fact that you have that empathy that we talked about, to know that there are certain things that can stand in the way of even a person with the most potential.
Yep. Well, thank you for that question. Woo, I wasn't expecting that one. So now I know how else feels when I come up with a
When their
question
question,
and they
now
have
you know,
to,
Dr. James.
yeah, and they have to answer, like, thank you so much. And I'm going to end this podcast like I end every podcast episode. And that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, but there is a select group of people that actually follow through, do it, and are doing great things in their career and in their life. And I want to thank you for being part of Select Few. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Engineer Your Success with Dr. James Bryant. Do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and a small fraction of people actually do it. I believe that you can have success both in business and in life, and it's my passion to guide you on your path to engineering your success. Thanks.